privileged for since the beginning of the year to be teaching our Wednesday nights at back home, and we started out in the account of Joseph. We spent about 8 weeks there, and then we went from there straight into Exodus, and we just finished up our 11th week looking at the Exodus, looking at the account of Moses and of Israel and how the Lord was bringing his people out of Egypt. And there's a lot of things that we can glean from those stories, but in those stories and in other accounts in the Bible, there's an underlying theme, and that's what I kind of wanted to touch on tonight. That underlying theme is the calling of the Lord. And Joseph, when he was there, he didn't realize at the beginning of his time in Egypt, as he was sold into slavery, that he was being called by the Lord to bring that people into Egypt, right? To bring his family into Egypt, to be incubated into the nation that they became. Moses, as he was being raised in the house of Pharaoh, he didn't realize to begin with that he was going to be called to bring Israel out of Egypt. And so as we touch Exodus chapters 3 and 4, they're some of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, simply because of this discourse between the Lord and Moses. And we'll touch on a little bit in Exodus chapter 3. But what I wanted to look at tonight, and the thing that I want to ask right now, because a challenge that I set myself every week as I bring these lessons, right? These events that happened some 3,500 years ago, my challenge to myself is to not only try and be educational in my lessons, but also to find a way to apply it to our lives today. Mm-hmm. How do we apply these things that we're reading in these old stories, right? These old histories. How do we apply them to our lives today? How do we apply them to the world that we live in? And the calling of the Lord, we can all apply that to our own lives. If you're sitting here tonight, if you're a member of the Lord's New Testament Church, praise the Lord, you've been called to that. Mm-hmm. Right? Praise the Lord that you've been called to know some things that the world doesn't know. As Brother Ryan touched on in his sermon, you know, we've been called to those things not so that we can hide our light, but so that we can go out and serve the Lord, right? Speak these things to the lost in our lives. And we'll touch more on that later. But I wanted to begin here in Exodus chapter 3, just to set the context in verses 4 through 9. This would be my text for this evening. When the Lord saw they turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large unto the land flowing with milk and honey. Unto the place the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Here the Lord is as you read further in this chapter, the Lord is telling Moses his plan. This is how I'm going to bring my people out of Egypt, out of this land where they're being afflicted. This is how I'm going to cut this nation out for myself, right? This people. Mm-hmm. Says later on, Israel is my son. Right? He claims Israel as his child. Well, how do we apply this to our lives today? And really, as we look back on our lives, we've all felt the calling of the Lord to something. First thing that we felt the calling of the Lord is to be saved. Mm-hmm. To simply accept Him in that innocent faith. Right? I'm a sinner. I need You, Lord. I can't do this on my own. Mm-hmm. You see, in Matthew 11, the last couple of verses, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the first thing that I would very much encourage, if you're here tonight or if you're watching online and you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior, do it. It's easy, right? It's that free gift, that gift that God gave to all mankind. All you have to do is reach out and take it. Take it by faith. Right? But after that, there's another step. Right? There's something more that we've been called to. And it's it's a process, right? A filtering process. You know, part of my line of work is a dirt worker. I have experience in and around dirt plants, right, where you take raw soil out of the earth, and then you run it in these great big machines, and it sorts them into all their parts, right? The Lord has a word, and pardon the analogy, it's probably a terrible one, but as the Lord takes a big bucket of people, right, all the people on the earth, pours them into this big old filter, this big old sifter, right? Some of them, they come off in that first run, and that's who's saved. When there's further refining, right? And he calls you then to baptism, right? If you're here this evening, if you're a member of a New Testament church, he's called you to baptism. Romans 6, we'll turn there. We've already been there once tonight. Romans 6, just the first 8 verses. We've been called apart from the Lord, the world in this through this baptism. Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. But now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. What does that mean? Well, if you've been saved, found that first faith salvation, you're looking for direction. Right? That's the one of the big things in the world, especially with my generation. Everybody's looking for their purpose, looking for their direction. If you've been saved, you have that direction. What is that direction? That's to join the New Testament church, isn't it? It's to follow up in that salvation, like that Ethiopian eunuch we find in Acts 8, right? Everybody, I hope, is at least somewhat familiar with that account. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's riding on the road to Jerusalem, something like that. He's riding on a chariot down the road, and he's reading from Isaiah. And God sends Philip, and just from that little bit that he was reading there in the book of Isaiah, Philip was able to preach Christ to him. Mm-hmm. The eunuch, he asked, "What must I do to be saved and baptized?" Right. And he was that very day. That's the power that the Lord's Word can have in the lives of the people around us. And after you follow up in baptism, then there's more to it than that. I won't go into it simply because of time. But we've been follow up our first faith salvation, that blessing with baptism, and we join the New Testament church. What are we then called to do? Called to serve, mm-hmm. Right? Serve and obey.
That's right.
Part of that service we find in the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28. We won't go there. We I hope are all well aware of that. He says, "Go and preach to the nations, right? Baptize." And if the Lord allows people into our lives for a reason.
Amen.
Right? I don't believe that there's anybody who is in our lives right now who isn't there for a very specific reason. We all have probably had experiences of people that we've grown close to over the years, and one day we look and they're just gone. Right? Don't hear from them, don't talk to them for years. Why is that? Because their purpose in our life, they don't have a purpose in our life right now. part of our purpose, part of our job as members of these New Testament churches is to bring the word of the Lord to them, right? It's to shine as that light in their lives, and I'm a firm believer that if any of us let somebody go out of our lives, whether it be them turning their back on us and walking away, going our separate ways, or even departing in death, right, family, if they've left our lives without hearing the word of the Lord, we fail. Amen. Right? And we need to, I know it's something that I need to work on. Right? I was talking to Brother Bo earlier, and we were talking about the conviction that comes with bringing the word of God to a body, right, or to a, in this instance, a gathering of bodies. And what's the old adage? If you have one finger pointing out, how many more do you got pointing back at you? Right? But it can be difficult, can't it? Right? Declaring the word of the Lord is not an easy thing to do. Especially when it's to people who we know take an opposite stand. Right? It's easy to witness to our Christian friends. I've got friends that I talk to all the time that I have no problem inviting to church. That I have no problem saying that I'm in Spokane for the weekend. I've come these 3.5 hours to go to a church meeting. Because they understand. They have that background. They know, and I can talk to them freely about my faith, and they share theirs. And it's all hunky-dory. But what about those people in our lives who don't share that? Those people who, as soon as you bring up God to them, they just, bah, get away from me. All this Jesus talk, right? Who's God? We see Pharaoh saying that a few times. Who's God that I should serve him? Yeah. Right? They don't know. They don't understand. And we'll finish up in Exodus chapter 4. We see Moses struggled with the calling of the Lord. We see the Lord telling him something. Here in verses 10 through 12. Remind you, this entire discourse, just in case you don't remember, maybe you're not, maybe you haven't looked over it recently, this entire discourse between God and Moses. God is telling Moses, go to my people. Tell them these things. Tell them I'm going to bring them out of the land. They're Pharaoh to let my people go. Right? Pharaoh's going to fight you. I'm going to harden his heart. God straight up tells Moses that. And Moses, he matches every command to go from the Lord with an excuse. Right? And here in verse 10, we pick up of chapter 4, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses, he follows this up with an excuse. I think Moses missed out on a great blessing in that. Right? When the Lord tells you to go to speak to these people, he's not asking. Right? He wasn't asking Moses to go to speak to Pharaoh. Moses had probably two choices, either accept the command from the Lord or probably die. Right? We see that same sort of idea with the story of Jonah. Right? Jonah tried to run from the Lord. The Lord wanted to go talk to the people of Nineveh. Jonah tried to run. What happened? Jonah talked to the people of Nineveh. Right? It's our job. And we might not always feel confident in our ability. I'm a sheep farmer. I'm a dirt digger. I spend my day with animals and on the sorry end of a shovel. Right? I'm not much of a speaker. What you see here is it's the Lord. Right? If you guys are getting anything out of this evening, it's because of God. Amen. Right? He gives us a promise in Matthew 10. I'll just turn there real quick. simply because I don't know it well enough to quote it directly, and I really don't want to mince the words. Matthew 10, verse 16 through 20, "Behold, I send you forth sheep in the midst of wolves, and be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men. They will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. It is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." I used to be afraid standing up for the church and bringing these lessons that I wouldn't have enough material to fill out the time. That's not fear anymore. I don't know exactly where I got it, but I can get a little bit long-winded, right? It's not a fear anymore of running out of words. And most of the time, my notes are not much, a couple scripture references, maybe an idea or two that I want to make sure that I bring across. But most of what gets brought forth is, the only explanation is the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And we have that faith, we have that assurance that as we go out, as we try to shine as those lights in the world, it's not us that's going to be doing the talking. Amen. Only God has the power to bring life from death. Amen. Right? Only He has the power to raise the dead. We're just the tools. Amen. So I guess in closing, my challenge to all of us this evening is, how are we called by the Lord? How are we answering that call from the Lord? Has the Lord laid somebody on our hearts to talk to? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker, somebody who's lost, somebody who maybe thinks they have an idea of what it means to be a Christian, right? But maybe they don't have quite that full understanding. Maybe just with a little bit of a nudge, some prayer, lots of prayer, they can come to know something greater. Right? We have Brother Richard. He did a wonderful job of bringing it out earlier today. We have an inheritance waiting for us if we only serve and obey.
Amen.
Right? If we do those things that the Lord has told us to do, that the task that He set before us, if we're faithful in that. And I don't want to miss out because I was making excuses my entire life. Right? I don't want to miss out on something great because I saw what was ahead. I saw some of the trials, some of the troubles. Darkness hates the light. Jesus said that you'll be hated for my name's sake. Right? We're going to run into people who don't want to hear it from us. We're going to run into people who maybe break our hearts over these things. Right? Our job isn't so much to worry about that. And our pastor, I love the pastor to death. He's always geared to outreach. One thing that he's always come to say is that it's not, you don't do the reaping. Right? We don't do the reaping of that sowing. We're told to plant and water. That's my challenge to all of us this evening. Plant water in our lives. Plant water to those people in our lives. And to be faithful while we do it. Right? One finger forward. Three fingers back. Finger guns. Right? But I thank you for your time, for your attention. And I thank you for your opportunity.
Amen. Amen.